Good evening, everyone, and I hope that you've had a beautiful day today, the Feast of the Assumption. It's one of the greatest feasts of the Church's liturgical year. And for many centuries, it has been celebrated liturgically. But now we live in a time in which this mystery of the Assumption has actually been solemnly defined as a dogma of our faith. In other words, as Christians, Catholics, we adhere to this dogma with certainty. It was November 1st, 1950, that Pope Pius XII solemnly defined this teaching of the Church that had been taught for many centuries. He asked all the bishops of the world if they believed that it should be defined now, that is in 1950, and if they thought that it was God who was wanting it to be defined. Almost every single bishop said yes. Yes, it is time that we define this beautiful mystery of Mary's Assumption. It has been held, like I said, for centuries by the greatest theologians in the Church. But the only uncertainty is, how did she pass from this world? Did she die like we all die? Since she didn't have any original sin, perhaps not. Was she taken up like Elijah was taken up from the Old Testament times? We really don't know. So in the East, this feast is referred to as the Dormition of the Virgin Mary, the falling asleep. In other words, I think this mystery is not going to be known completely here, but it will be known in the world to come. And we don't even know for sure where her passing occurred, whether it was in Ephesus, where St. John the Evangelist took her, or whether it was in Jerusalem, which is the stronger tradition, actually. But wherever the Virgin Mary was taken up, into heaven, it's certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that her body and soul are there in heaven. This is a mystery, and it's also an invitation to hope. The church's belief in the resurrection, in the fact that our bodies too will be part of the resurrection. That gives us hope. We believe in a bodily resurrection. Our entrance into eternal glory will involve more than just the soul being given eternal existence. It also involves our bodies transformed by heavenly grace. What will it be like to be there in heaven? Body and soul, we don't know. St. Paul tells the early Christians that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And along with this belief is the certainty that God will reward us according to how we served him in our bodies here on earth. Those who sacrificed their very lives physically for him, who were martyred, they're going to get a beautiful martyr's crown. They will be justly repaid. And all of us, or all who enter into eternal life with God, everyone who does will be given peace and happiness. When asked about this whole question of the measure of happiness that those in heaven experience, St. Therese was heard to give this explanation. If a thimble was filled with water and a big 5-gallon pail was filled with water, you could say that they're both full, but obviously the 5-gallon pail contains much more water. Souls in heaven are completely happy, but the degree of happiness depends on how much they have loved and obeyed God here on earth. It's our belief that of all those who inherit eternal life with God, nobody can compare with the Mother of God. Her capacity to love God and obey God and serve God was complete, and she never committed even a single sin throughout her life. And thus is she rewarded with the highest degree of perfection now that she is bodily reigning in the kingdom of God. This great mystery of her assumption reaffirms our hope that our body will share in eternal glory as well as our souls. So our bodies matter. We're called to act honestly, chastely in our bodies. We have to recognize that once baptized, our bodies become temples of the living God. They are holy, and they must be kept that way. What we do in our bodies has a bearing on the extent of our capacity for happiness in heaven. Those who offer their bodies and souls to God completely will be rewarded with a high degree of honor and happiness in the blessed state that we call heaven. And so it is fitting the Church rightly honors the Mother of God, recognizing that she is with God, both in her transfigured body as well as in her soul. And we further recognize that we are entrusted to her. We are her children. She is our mother in the order of grace. And she powerfully intercedes for us when we turn to her for help. Many times in her apparitions here on earth, she reminds us to stay close to the heart of her divine Son and to live a life that's worthy of our calling. So, brothers and sisters, let us this day renew our love, renew our devotion to this most tender mother, and acclaim her as our queen and as the mediatrix of all graces. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee.